Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Gervais. It is my pleasure to introduce our honoured guest speaker for tonight. Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman qualified as a medical doctor at the then University of Natal Medical School in 1984. That's the first line, and for most of us, that would be a crowning achievement in our lives. But it goes on. After then experiencing a strong calling, he gave up his career in medicine to pursue the field of humanitarian aid, which for him transcends the boundaries of race, religion, culture, class, and geography. Alongside his studies and medical work, and throughout his life, Dr. Suleiman has been involved in several associations, religious organizations, and even school governing bodies, progressively as a student, medical doctor, and as an active member of civil society. In 1992, he founded the Gift of the Givers Foundation, and has since then delivered more than 5 billion rand over a 31-year period to 45 countries, including South Africa. The Gift of the Givers Foundation is the largest disaster response non-governmental organization of African origin on the African continent. It has developed into one of the most respected international humanitarian agencies. The organization is impartial and apolitical and aims to serve with compassion, kindness, and mercy, which reflects the remarkable personal calling of Dr. Suleiman to serve people who need help with love, compassion, and dignity, and expect nothing in return. Through his work with Gift of the Givers, he and his teams have responded to the needs of countless people affected by a wide range of natural and man-made disasters such as floods, famine, tsunamis, earthquakes, and wars. He has facilitated the establishment of hospitals, run clinics, created agricultural schemes, dug wells, built houses, developed and manufactured an energy food, renovated fishing boats, offered scholarships, and provided food and shelter to millions. When disaster strikes or pleas for assistance are sounded, whether in South Africa or abroad, he and Gift of the Givers are ready with an immediate response, swiftly rallying the organization's network of doctors, nurses, relief workers, and other professionals, and dispatching humanitarian and medical supplies to disaster areas. Dr. Suleiman says that he is driven by the same basic principles that led him to becoming a medical doctor: respect, care, professionalism, and dedication. But there's something else that fuels Dr. Suleiman's passion for humanitarianism: the solid belief in the common humanity that unites us. His fervent form belief in mankind is what really motivates and energizes him, and the reason is his faith. He is indiscriminate and proactive in his aid, and has said, "You are a human, and I am a human. I need to help you." A recipient of many awards for his service to South Africa and humanity, Dr. Suleiman, for his excellence and contribution through the Gift of the Givers Foundation to humanitarian aid in South Africa and humanitarian relief missions in various countries, was deservedly awarded by the President of South Africa Order of the Baobab Silver Award in 2010. It is a testimony to his humility that a man so industrious and in demand would come and speak to us tonight and build into our youth. And who better to give out gifts to our prize winners? We are honored indeed to hear from a special South African from our school stage tonight, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman.
Thank you, Professor Simpson. Regards to the governing body, parents, teachers, family. Thank you very much for the invite. Congratulations on your school. You've got a remarkable amount of achievements for what the principal is bringing out. But to those kids who don't do that well, it's not important. 7 days or 10 days is not important. What's important is doing the best you can. As long as you do the best you can, that's important. And with that, you would find a life, that you would find a vocation that you really love. A special message to parents, don't force your kids to do what you want them to study, especially when they go to university. That's a big mistake many parents make. When there's no passion, you don't enjoy life, you're not productive, you can't make a difference. Lots of children change the vocations in university different from what the parents wanted. And they find fulfillment and satisfaction in that. When you find fulfillment and satisfaction in what you study, your soul gets satisfied. Wherever I go, people always speak about the future, about a failed state. Is there any hope for us and for our children? There's two critical elements that's important for you to understand. Faith and spirituality. We need to bring that fully back into our lives. Because with faith and spirituality comes positivity and hope. There is no other way you would get positivity and hope except through faith and spirituality. Our trucks arrive in Komani in Queenstown late in the afternoon. An old lady comes out of the house on crutches. She looks heavenwards and picks up a hand in the rural area of Queenstown. And she says, "You never let me down." There was no food. She was hungry. No means of getting any type of sustenance. But she had faith and hope that through that faith something will come. And it happened. 20th January 2010, 8 days into the earthquake in Haiti, in the collapsed Catholic Church, 64-year-old Enazizi, no oxygen, no food, fractured hip, completely no water, completely covered in rubble. My team hear the sounds in the rubble 8 days into the earthquake. Throughout January 2010, that earthquake struck. At 5:13 in the afternoon, 7.0 on the Richter scale, and it only lasted 40 seconds. And in 40 seconds, it wiped out 220,000 people. And this sound was heard in the Catholic Church. And my teams went in, and 3 hours later, they pulled her out alive, 64-year-old Enazizi. Her first words were, "I love God Almighty." You instilled hope and faith in somebody several thousand kilometers away. Her second words were, "I love you." The essence of faith and service is love. And all of you, if you don't have faith and ethics and spirituality, you can become an absolute monster. For 10 years, and all of the degrees that you have, if you don't apply faith and ethics, you can destroy your family, you can destroy your company, you can destroy your country. Because ego overtakes the brain. And there are so many incidents in history where very learned people have destroyed populations and people. Ethics is critical in whatever you do. And service in whatever you do, please don't ever forget that. And it starts off with respect to your parents. The teacher spoke earlier. It's not, you are not here by your own great accord. You are here because of your parents, your family, and your teachers who've invested a lot in you. Education is not cheap today. It takes up a large part of the budget of families. You need to respect what you've been given, and with that respect, you will get respect, and then you make progress. I want to come back to the spiritual part of Gift of the Givers. It's a very important lesson. It's something that I've learned. You see, Gift of the Givers is not my organization. I didn't get up one morning and say to myself, "I think today I'm going to form an organization." Give it a name, find some founding members, write a constitution, and say I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It never happened that way. The organization itself is a spiritual calling. Every aspect of the organization is spiritual. The official date is 6 August 1992, but there's a spiritual element that takes me back to 1985. I was doing my internship in Kigali Hospital in Devon, and I said to myself, as all young people say, we have a goal, we have a vision, we've got plans for the future. And I said to myself that next year, I will be a medical officer, and after that, I'll be a registrar, And after that, I became a specialist in internal medicine. It didn't happen. There was no opportunity, no place. I couldn't study further. There were one of two options, like many people face in the country today. I could sit in the corner and mope and wail and perform a cartwheel and be depressed and say it's the end of the world. Or I can look at myself and say, there's God, there's faith, there's hope, there's alternatives. We can look at something different. You have rational, you have reason, you have intellect, you can do something different. And I decided I will go into private practice. It's something I never wanted to do, but under the circumstances, I made the choice to go into private practice. You see, we have a teaching. We don't pray for what we want. We pray for what is good for us. Because what you want may not necessarily be good for you. So when things don't work out for you, for your parents, for your family, always look at it again with a positive eye, not a negative mind. And say, why did this thing not work out? There must be a very good reason. And quite often it is shown that the path you wanted to follow was the path of the potholes, and not the right path, and that's why you've been obstructed. So you're going to get a lot of challenges in life. You've been looked after, you've been nurtured, you're in a very safe environment. When you go out there, it's very, very different. And you're going to have a lot of challenges, and you need to have that open mind to deal with those challenges. So I moved to Maritzburg. I moved from Durban to Maritzburg to try a new place to start a private practice. The week I got to Maritzburg, an Afrikaner guy from Pretoria also moved to Maritzburg. My neighbor, who's a butcher, comes to me because I've got a new neighbor now. I'm staying in a new building. My neighbor comes to me and he says, I got this Afrikaner guy. He bought meat from me. He needs a doctor. So I treat Miller. And he starts speaking. And he talks to me about a spiritual teacher that he met in New York. But the teacher is from Istanbul, a Sufi master. And when we discuss, he tells me a lot of things that I say sounds very much like what the teacher says when he spoke to the teacher. And then after some months, he tells me, you need to go to Istanbul. So I said, Miller, it's 1986. I still haven't seen Cape Town. When am I going to get to Turkey? He said something very profound. He said, what God wants happens. There's a time and a place. August 91, my wife and I landed in Turkey. It's a long story. But when we got there, our minds start opening up. Remember, we're coming from an apartheid South Africa. And when we get there, we see people of all nationalities. Americans, Russians, people from Sweden, Norway, Germany, Denmark, Canada, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, Southeast Asia, India, Africa, all over. With different religions. Jews, Christians, Hindus, Muslims, people from other religions, and no religion. Nobody is judged. Everybody respects each other in an equal manner. Pure humanity. And the only thing that overflows between these different groups is love and respect. I look at this, I can't understand it. The spiritual teacher looks at the shock on my face and he says, what do you see? I said, I'm confused. Different people from different countries, we had friction, we had wars all over the world. What are we doing all together in the same place? And he says, my son, mankind is one single nation. The God of all mankind is one. We just know him by different names. The essence of religion is love, kindness, compassion, and mercy. I go away. The following year, I come back. The official date, 6 August 1992, Thursday night, 10 p.m. After spiritual session, the teacher picks his head up without warning, makes eye contact with me, and looks heavenward at the same time. In fluent Turkish, and I don't speak a word of Turkish, but I understood every single word that he said in Turkish that time. He said, my son, I'm not asking you, I'm instructing you to form an organization. The name in Arabic will be Waqfu Waqifin. Translated, gift of the givers. You will serve all people of all races, all religions, all colors, all classes, all cultures, of any geographical location and of any political affiliation, but you will serve them unconditionally. You will expect nothing in return, not even a thank you. This is an instruction for you for the rest of your life. Serve people with love, kindness, compassion, and mercy. And remember, the dignity of men is foremost. In whatever profession you take, remember, treat people with love, respect, and look after the dignity of people. Because that is what you would want somebody else to do to you. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, provide water to the thirsty, and in everything that you do, be the best at what you do. Not because of ego. Ego is destructive. But because you're dealing with human life, human emotion, human suffering, and human dignity. He said, my son, don't ever forget. Remember that whatever you do is done through you and not by you. All your achievements is not through your greatness. Your achievements is by grace of God Almighty. Gratitude is a very important component of wisdom. Be grateful for all the favors that have been given to you, the school that you go to, the parents that you have, and what you've achieved. Don't ever forget that. I asked him, how is it? Then when you speak Turkish, I understand. And when other people speak Turkish, I don't understand. He said, my son, when the hearts connect and the souls connect, the words become understandable. I said, I'm a doctor. I have 3 surgeries in a place pocket in Maritzburg in South Africa. What is your instruction? What exactly am I supposed to do? He looked me in the eye and told me one line. You will know. For 31 years, I do. What to do, what not to do, what to touch, what not to touch. Sounds very philosophical, doesn't it? So let me give you an example. January 6, 2014, we get a call from Al-Qaeda, the terror group in Yemen. And they tell us, are you the guys looking for 2 South African hostages? We say, yes. They say, come tomorrow, January 7, 2014, 10 a.m. to Aden. My team member from Yemen goes. None of us have any experience in hostage negotiations. We haven't done any studies, no honors, no masters, no PhD. No intelligence agency or secret service agency in the world has trained us. We're just 2 very ordinary guys. He goes and meets them, and they allow him to talk to me. 7 January 2014, he meets Al-Qaeda. 3 days later, January 10, 2014, Yolande Corky, the lady who was taken from Bloemfontein, husband and Pierpont were taken. He was a teacher at Grace College. Yolande Corky is released unconditionally, unharmed, 0 ransom. In 3 days, it's never been done in the history of the world before. And yet, we had no experience in hostage negotiations. We knew exactly what to do, how to do it, and when to say what to say. In fact, that night when I walked out of the place on 6 August 1992, it came to me to respond to the civil war in Bosnia. That same month, I took in 32 containers of aid into a war zone. 3 months later, we took 8 containers of winter items. And the following year, we set with South African engineering companies and we designed the world's first containerized mobile hospital. A product of South African technology and engineering, a world first, never done before. Built in Africa and South Africa and taken to Europe, to Bosnia. The CNN on 1st February 1994 filmed the hospital and said the South African containerized mobile hospital is equal to any of the best hospitals in Europe. In disaster situations, I want to show you the skill, the expertise that we get from our schools and our universities and our teachings. In disaster situations, some people send tents, blankets, bottled water, medicines, sanitary pads, diapers, energy biscuits, and things like that. Some people send primary healthcare medical teams. Some people send trauma medical teams, general surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, vascular surgeon, intensivist, theater nurse, ICU nurse. Some people send spinal rehab specialists, make people walk after an earthquake. You can't walk, spine is damaged. So specialized physiotherapists go. Some people send in trauma counselors. Some send in search and rescue teams. Some send in canines, the dogs, and dog handlers. Some send in medical equipment. Some send search and rescue equipment. Some people take cash money and give the people to buy what they want. Some people rebuild houses, clinics, hospitals, and some people start agriculture. And some people, if there's a conflict situation, have hostage negotiation teams. We're the only team in the world that does all of the above. No government, no organization, no country can match us. We can get off a plane and set up an ICU and a theater on the runway in 15 minutes. In Somalia, we set up an entire hospital in 3 hours. With oxygen, theater, ICU, ultrasound, gynae, obstetrics, pediatrics, every aspect in 3 hours. That's our skill. I'm going to give you the last part and finish off with the power of spirituality. I need to understand how this thing works. November last year, I got a call from Cape Town from a friend of mine, and he says, would you like to meet the new head of Turkish Airlines? He's moving from San Francisco to Cape Town, the new general manager. Would you like to meet him? So I say yes. In my business, I need networks. Planes, ships, trains, communication systems, ambassadors, governments, everybody. Because I specialize in disaster. I'm doing this for 33 years. 31 years as gift of the givers, and 2 years before that. So networks are critical. So I said, but let it happen when it's supposed to happen. So 1st February this year, I get onto the plane in Durban, in Shanghai Airport, and as I'm about to fly, the thought comes to me. Remember I called you last year, November, and told you about the Turkish Airlines guy, why don't you call him now? So I phone him. I said, is the guy here? Is he available? He says, yes. We'll see him 9:30 tonight in the Turkish restaurant. Yeah, in Waterford, Sarajevo. So 1st February, I come from the plane straight to Sarajevo. I meet the new general manager of Turkish Airlines. My first words to him, Sinan, I need an airline partner that can carry search and rescue personnel, medical personnel, dog handlers, dogs, search and rescue equipment, medical equipment, and humanitarian supplies, be it cans, blankets, medicine, whatever. And I want a pair partner airline in the event an earthquake hits a country. 5 days later, the earthquake hit his country. We had a partner airline with all the arrangements, and within 12 hours, we were ready to fly to Turkey. 15 million people were affected by the earthquake. When we got there, and overall, 172 countries responded, of which some said one team, some said two teams, some said three teams. Let's say 300 teams came. I need you to understand this very carefully, the power of spirituality. 300 teams came. We didn't choose where we want to go. Nobody chooses where you want to go. We were selected to go to a place called Hatay. There were only 12 teams in Hatay out of the 300. It was the most destroyed city in Turkey, 100% flattened, nothing left. Two Chinese teams from the government, all teams were from the government. We were the only non-government team in the entire association. Two from China, two Turkish government teams, one Italian, one from Serbia, one from Croatia, one from Bosnia, one from Oman, one from Saudi Arabia, one from Jordan, and us. Day 8 seems to be a lucky number for us. The South African dog says, somebody here alive. And we go to the building, and we pull out alive a 90-year-old grandmother. We were the only team in the world that had 5 dogs. And they came across from the other countries, and they said, your dogs are special. Can we or lend them? Take them. We need them to work for us. So we asked them, what's special about our dog? It's the dog. And they said, your dog can smell a live person and a deceased person at the same time. We need 2 separate dogs to do that. One for life, one for disease. That dog is trained for respect and dignity, because the quality of the South African handler that puts that respect into the dog. And they asked, why is your dog so skinny? We said, it's simple, he's South African. Believe in yourselves, believe in this country, believe in our skills. And the final point, I told you the Bosnian team was there. I got the instruction to form Gift of the Givers in Turkey. I got the instruction to form send hospital aid to Bosnia. And the Bosnian team comes. 172 countries, 300 teams, only 12 teams in Hatay. Of the 12, South Africa and Bosnia teams there. The Bosnia team leader comes to my team leader, pats him on the shoulder and starts sobbing. And we ask, what's wrong? He takes out his wallet from the pocket. He takes out a picture from the wallet. He points to the picture. There's a baby in the picture and a mother. He said, that baby is me. That mother is my mother. We know your name of the organization. We mean, ask, what do you mean? He said, I was born in the hospital. The Gift of the Givers brought to Bosnia in 1993. What's the chances of a coincidence? Use your science. Figure it out. 12 teams, 300 come to the country. Only 12 in one place. The people we served in the hospital, and the guy who was born in the hospital is part of this team, not part of other teams somewhere else. Students, parents, teachers, management, faith, spirituality, positivity, hope, good character, ethics. We'll go a long way in life, and together we will fix this country. Thank you very much.
For that talk, Dr. Suleiman, to be thanked more properly later, but from us, we just want to thank you for putting us in and inspiring us like this. Who knows what can come out of this skilled subset of South Africans. For now, it gives us great pleasure to present the prizes to the matriculating group of 2023. I ask Mrs. Ndoni to read the awards, and Dr. Suleiman to help with the handing over of the prizes to the prize winners.